You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? It has been far too long, and welcome back to Bison Report Radio. Bison Report Radio, of course, brought to you by the good people at Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host, Ross Uglman. Yes, if you are thinking, didn't you retire? I did. However, we have to get the young whippersnappers up to speed, and we have to pay the bills around here. So I will be with you for maybe the foreseeable future. We'll see how long this lasts. But for right now, we're here to get you ready for the Eastern Washington game this weekend at U.S. Bank Stadium in lovely Minneapolis. Hope as many of you that are listening to this as possible make your way down. And right now, tickets are still readily available for this weekend's game at U.S. Bank. We are not hearing super optimistic projections as far as attendance is concerned. I do understand that, but it is a beautiful stadium, especially I have some issues with how the upper levels were designed. They've got some narrower concourses, but boy, the 100 level seating is awesome there, and it is a very cool place to watch an event. I've been to the Final Four there. It's a cool spot, and certainly encourage any and all of you to head down to Minneapolis this weekend. Some unfortunate news: Hunter Zenzen and Enoch Sibomana. NDSU seems like never quite makes it out of fall camp without some sort of a serious injury, and it sounds like both transfer Hunter Zenzen and local product Enoch Sibomana will be out for the season with lower body injuries. Tonight, though, folks, please head down to the block party at Shields starting at 6 o'clock. See our friends from Big Deck Barbecue. All sorts of stuff going on at the block party. I assume that folks... I think normally this is on a Friday, but normally NDSU actually opens their season in the Fargo Dome. As of right now, you know, we know that the guys need to get to Minneapolis, and that makes a Friday night block party almost impossible, but this block party should be super, super fun nonetheless. Okay, with no further ado, I would like to now introduce the newest member of the team at Bison Report. His name is Blake Engerbretson. He is a Hillsborough.
Correct.
Native. Yep. And he is a journalism major at North Dakota State. He'll be helping us out here at Bison Report in more of an expanded role than our friend over now at Bison 1660 and former Bison Report intern Micah Bindi, as well as Ben the intern. And I do believe Ben the intern is still working at Forum Communications. So good things for Ben. And we're hoping, obviously, that Blake joins them in the long list, but it's not a particularly long list. It's a short list, and it's a list where our interns are batting 1,000 in finding things to do. But we are going to let Blake cook a little bit more, because I am trying my darndest to be less involved. Blake, tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Ooh, all right. Well, I am from Hillsborough, although I graduated from Velva High School, way out in the west side by Minot.
Okay.
So I have some, I've seen some good high school football out there nonetheless. About a little over a year ago, moved out to Hillsborough and closer to family, and NDSU, has, great opportunities for journalism students. I mean, last year I wrote for the Spectrum. It's the online paper on campus. Did pretty much what I'm going to be doing here. So football, basketball, and then spring, you know, when the weather was permitting, I got outside and covered some softball. So, yeah. What's that?
No, very awesome. Very good. Very good. So, Blake, someone that we're obviously trying to grow in the business here, he's going to help us out. Pro Bison, we haven't talked Pro Bison. Well, we haven't had a show in a long time. We haven't talked a ton of Pro Bison lately. Nash Jensen, I think, is the real leader in the clubhouse here as far as the biggest story. Nash making the Panthers so cool. I thought, and obviously, you know, some biases come into this, but I had a seventh round grade on Nash. I really thought he should have been drafted. And boy, for him to just make the 53 man roster, I would say, you know, maybe a sixth round or fifth round grade would have been justified. You start talking about guys that do and do not make teams. Nash making it as an undrafted free agent just shows his potential, how hard he worked, and how impressive that is. Noah Gindorf was released. Darius Shepherd was put on IR, and Spencer Wagey was released. In a little bit of a surprise, Jabril Cox, once a pretty high draft pick by the Dallas Cowboys, was released. A little bit of discussion, allegedly, about Jabril sticking with the Cowboys, moving to the practice squad, and trying to sort of continue to take in that system. He's dealt with some injury issues ever since entering the NFL, decided to opt for a fresh start within the division. Jabril is on his way to the Washington Commanders. Hunter Lipke, though, very exciting news, making the Dallas Cowboys roster as an undrafted free agent as well. I had a fourth round grade on Hunter. I did not understand how teams did not see him in that Kyle Juszczyk role. And you saw the things that he was able to accomplish in the preseason just looked like Hunter Lipke. I thought it was very, very impressive what he was able to do in the preseason. And it was impressive enough to the Cowboys brass to earn a spot in the initial 53-man roster. Speaking of Dallas Cowboys, Trey Lance is a Dallas Cowboy. What a strange and winding road the beginning to his NFL career has been. Not a ton of it, I don't think, is his fault. I'm sure he would have liked to have played better, but really in a unfortunate situation, the way Kyle Shanahan has run things out there in San Francisco, has had trouble committing to quarterbacks in the past. Everyone remembers the RG3. Kirk Cousins situation in Washington, could never commit to Jimmy G. Now has chosen Brock Purdy over Trey. We'll see how all that goes. Shanahan is a very smart coach. I'm not sure he understands quarterbacks the way that most teams do. Okay, the last thing, Easton Stick is finally QB2 in Los Angeles. Chase Daniel has finally ridden off into the sunset. I believe he's doing a podcast that I'm very much going to listen to and will likely enjoy. But Easton Stick is the backup quarterback in Los Angeles behind Justin Herbert. So obviously one snap away from being the starter. You never, ever wish poor things to happen to guys, especially, you know, to the Chargers and our friends Quinn and Zach. But Easton Stick has moved himself up to QB2 with the Los Angeles Chargers. Folks, head over to Gateway Chevrolet. As we've mentioned, Buyers Report Radio brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. They've got a phenomenal Labor Day event going on this weekend through Monday. So even if you are able or are looking to head down to the Twin Cities for the NDSU football game at US Bank, you can still make it to Gateway Chevrolet on Monday. Up to $8,000 off on new Silverados. They've got all sorts of new and used vehicles. And folks, they have just a tremendous service department as well there at Gateway Chevrolet. It is the only place that I go to get my stuff worked on. And they are courteous. They get stuff done on time and their pricing is fair. Have nothing but nice things to say about Brad Sather, John Cole, and all of the good folks over at Gateway Chevrolet. All right, Blake, let's we'll do this sort of in two parts. Normally, I guess this would be two shows, but we're going to sort of, because we have such little information on Eastern Washington, as do the Bison, we're going to sort of roll through this as a season preview and then sort of focus on the game.
All right, let's start with the quarterbacks, obviously most important position viewed by many. NDSU has both Miller and Peyton for their fourth and third years back with the program. What do you see from Miller in his, as he should progress this year?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, with Cam, and just in the sense of he played well all the way up until and well, I guess is relative. You look at his rushing totals. I mean, even in that game against Incarnate Word, he had 160 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground. Everyone's only going to talk about the 1-for-11 passing. And let me be clear, you can't go 1-for-11 passing. But he's won a national championship. He's, I think, one of the better quarterbacks that I've seen there. You know, not he's not probably one of the pros, but I think from a just play, not necessarily winning, because Brock had great guys around him, but like I have him right there with Brock, certainly above a guy like Tony Stoss, or you know the early Division One guys outside of, you know, obviously Steve Walker was a great player, but for me Cam is right there with Brock and Steve Walker and guys you know, under that echelon of, okay, well, here are our 3 guys that went pro. I think he's, you know, right there with all of the guys that, you know, were really good college quarterbacks, but maybe, you know, didn't have the chance. And I think with the transfer portal, he's just playing on a different field, right? Like NDSU used to win a ton of games because they redshirted everyone and everyone stayed, you know, and who knows however many years ago, how many years John Crockett would have stayed before going to the transfer portal. Who knows how many years Warren Holloway would have stayed before going to the transfer portal. Would Minnesota have called Zach Vrah and asked him to come home? Like, you just never know, you know, what might have happened in the portal 10 years ago because we didn't have it. And so it's, like I said, it's just a sliding scale. COVID happened. Trey Lance happened. Like, Trey would maybe be I'm trying to think, would he be a redshirt senior? I know he'd still be on campus this season, right? So, like, you just never know, you know, what you might. It's just a different era of Bison football, I guess. As far as his development, though, I would expect full mastery of the offense, and I think he kind of had that last year, but I would basically assume the entire menu is open to him right there at the line of scrimmage. He's got a good, solid offensive line in front of him and one of the deeper wide receiver rooms I've ever seen at North Dakota State.
Yeah, I mean, both he and Cole are definitely going to have a big part in the running game, too.
They will, and the Cole thing is interesting, obviously, because you lose the game 45, I think it was 45-21, but they get killed down in Dallas, Frisco, the first time we've ever gone down to Frisco and not won the game. There were some close calls, but every trip down to Frisco rewarded with a victory. This one not. So the two people, when you don't do the big thing at the end of the year, that always get, you know, guff is the head coach and the quarterback. Well, Coach Ince has 2 national championships. He coordinated the defense on a number of other national championships. I'm not dumb enough to suggest that Coach Ince is on any kind of a hot seat. Okay, you don't win 2 titles and be a runner-up 1 year. Throw the COVID season out the door, even though I think he still made it to a national semifinal. So now who does it fall upon? Okay, now we're talking about quarterback. And not only that, but you have Nebraska calling on Cole Payton when he's a high school senior. I think Iowa State called on Cole Payton when he's a high school senior. Made the commitment to come to NDSU. Obviously remains very committed. I mean, I think a lot of kids in today's day and age, a lot of kids in Cole's situation are hitting the portal. But I think there's some NDSU fans that wanted more of an open competition, right? I think there's some NDSU fans that wanted, like, hey, let's get a real serious look at what Cole Payton might look like on the other side of a, you know, 40 snap to 20 snap difference. You know, last year it was basically 55 snaps of Cam and 5 snaps of Cole, right? And I do think we're going to see not necessarily a dual quarterback system, but I really believe the Cole Payton package has to be expanded. I know he threw the pick against South Dakota State in the home game that they probably should have won, but Cole Payton is, we just talked about Easton Stick being 1 snap away. Cole Payton's 1 snap away from the entire offense running, absolutely, you know, through him. So I think that the package has to be expanded. And if you were just to say, hey, Ross, they're gonna run 60 plays on offense, I would want 40 of them to be Cam and 20 of them to be Cole. And I don't know that they'll go to that extent, but even 45 and 15, like I just want to see more Cole stuff. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a Cam drive, and then a Cole drive. I think they need to be interchangeable. I think that is more difficult for defensive coordinators to match up with anyway.
Yeah, and there were games last year, I think, I don't know what game it was, but he had like 2 carries for 25 yards, and that was all we saw of him.
Yeah.
But who knows, maybe this year, you know, Kobe going to Colorado State, and obviously Hunter.
Being Ganella, a Dallas Cowboy.
Correct. Ganella going to Florida. Bussey is no longer with the team. So the running back room is a little thinner than last year.
It is. It has the opportunity to be a little bit thinner. I think, and people are talking to him, and I very much like Tomerik as a player, so I hope it doesn't come across that I don't like Tomerik as a player. But people are talking about a John Crockett-like workload for Tomerik Williams, and I'm not looking forward to that. I don't think that's a great idea. I'm excited to see what TK Marshall can do in an expanded role, certainly. I think you're going to have a chance probably for one of the two true freshmen in Charmar or Marty Brown and Kelly Watson. I think one of those two is probably going to lose his red shirt. I think that's pretty likely. And then, of course, you've got the two guys that had a little bit of time last year in Barika Penu from Cheyenne and then Owen Johnson from Mankato. And I think they're not last year where it was just like back after back after back that would start for like any other team in the Valley. But you're going to be able to get away with, you know, kind of, I think, Tomerik and TK running most of your base stuff. You know, maybe Owen gets some short yardage stuff. He looks like a guy that can probably pick up a blitz. If he can catch the ball, maybe he gets some third down work. Maybe Barika gets some third down work. I think even Raja could get some third down work. As sort of a pass catching back, it depends on kind of what they want to do with him. And then obviously, you know, they still have Braylon Henderson in that slot role. I don't think Braylon is likely to see any running back snaps, but there's just stuff that they can do. Now they get hit with a ton of injuries. We're going to find some stuff out, but as far as right now, 1-2-3, Tomerik, TK, Barika, it's probably fine.
As far as those receivers, you're saying, you know, Braylon and whatnot. I never even thought about that. Could they be like a Ty Montgomery? Could they be, you know, taken?
I think the one guy that could do that is Raja. I do think that there's something to that idea. And I think it's even been suggested, or I think it's maybe been repped in fall camp. I hope I'm not giving away any trade secrets. Sometimes I forget about how I even hear things. But I do think that Raja as sort of a pass-catching player out of the backfield is there. And you saw in the Arizona game last year too, there's stuff where they'll run both Cam and Cole in the backfield. There is stuff for passing downs. If right now your concern is, well, Hunter's gone, so who's the pass catching running back? I think there are other ways to be creative in that way.
One position I noticed that are in the backfield is fullbacks. I know Hunter is gone, but you know, Brozio and Hofstad, they're here and they're good.
Yeah, and Truman Weremeyer, I think, is going to play a bigger role in there. And I think you're going to see maybe some more interchangeability within personnel because Hunter could play so many spots. And now I think behind Stuffel, and they feel probably pretty good about Stuffel, you're seeing lots of names where maybe they can play a little U, maybe they can play a little tight end, and you know, maybe play a little Y, maybe play a little fullback. But I think you're going to see Brozio and Hofstad probably play some tight end or some wing. You might even see some of the tight ends come into the backfield, play a little fullback. There's a lot of trade shift in motion from NDSU's offense, but it's, you know, behind Stuffel, Carson Williams, Buffalo transfer, Strite, Northern State transfer. So you've got a FBS transfer coming down. You've got a Division II transfer going up. Those guys obviously are interesting. Finn Diggins, now I think his third year of the program, he was a big deal coming out of Perm. He's, I think, going to be a guy that absolutely has to get a look. So I think that's a talented room. And a lot of guys with Babich going to the NFL and Gindorf being out for the season kind of got thrown into the fire. So we'll see how that all shakes out in the sense of how many guys do they really trust? Because last year, I think it did get to the point where they got so thin when Hunter was out. And it was a little bit of, why isn't Carson Williams out there? He's an older, you know, he's played a year of college football. okay, why isn't Streit out there? He's an older guy, you know, and now they're on the depth chart. So it really is a question of, because I talked about this a little bit in, you know, the takeaways from the 2D. A lot of times upperclassmen end up on that first 2D, regardless of whether or not they're actually going to play, because they don't want to give stuff away. And so I will be interested to see how much Carson Williams plays. I will be interested to see how much Jacob Streit plays. I'm interested in a lot of kind of the inner workings of how are they going to get that done? How many guys are they going to use? Is it going to be three fullbacks and three tight ends? Is it going to be seven guys? How many guys are they actually going to trust with those reps? Because very, very, very seldom does NDSU run even two consecutive plays with the same personnel.
Yeah, that's something he on Monday. Monday he talked about, you know, he talked about Carson Williams. He talked about the tight end position, because I got to ask. I think it was, I don't know who asked it, but it was like T-E-Y, tight end U. Like, what is that?
Yeah, and he explained that stuff, and those are just sort of basic football. It's a backside tight end. NDSU often uses that as a wing. It's normally the tight end that's not on the ball. Whether you call that position wing, whether you call that position H-back, whether they actually just do, you know, line up with seven guys on the offensive line, basically, and just have the receiver off the ball, whatever. It's the Y position is the normal one that everybody remembers. Like, Noah Gindorf was a Y. Ben Ellefson was a Y. Vaudeland was a Y. Going way back, Wurzbacher was a Y. And, you know, maybe, like, you'd think of maybe Bonnet as a U. But that it's just basic stuff that I think they're so deep at tight end, too, they just wanted to recognize a few guys on the depth chart, and I do understand where he's coming from with that.
Sure. As far as pass catching goes, tight end's obviously big. A lot of receivers, a lot of good receivers coming up.
I think it's as deep as they've ever been at the position, and I'm really interested to see who actually gets to play, how much they throw the ball, because you're also, like, not going to be a ton more experienced at the quarterback position than they are now. Of course, Easton Stick played a ton of football, as did, you know, like Brock Jensen, but Carson and Trey weren't super experienced. Now you've got a starter who has game after game after game under his belt, and a backup that has some real snaps as well. So maybe their desire to throw the football could be a little bit greater. Zach Mathis is, I think, going to be that number one X receiver, 6'7", 203 pounds. See if he's got a little bit of juice left in the tank. Braylon Henderson, that wily veteran in the slot position there, making a very cool jersey number change to number one. I love, like, the smaller receivers in number one. I think it looks awesome. Rajah Nelson, as I mentioned, as another slot option, maybe a little option out of the backfield. I loved what I saw from Eli Green last year. And then the kids that everybody's excited about, right? And that's the big three of Bryce, Lance, Mekhi Collins, and Carson Hagerly. With all, of course, due respect to veteran Jake Lippi. But the guys that everyone hasn't seen yet that were big, big, big deals out of high school, especially Collins and Hagerly. Everybody knows Bryce because of who his brother is. He's a very good football player in his own right. But, like, Bryce's hype in high school came from that family relationship in addition to being a good football player. Collins and Hagerly were just straight up three-star athletes, high three-star athletes with other opportunities to go other places. And we predicted last fall that you would see them in a game, and you didn't. Now they're redshirt freshmen, and I think everybody looked at the two deep, and even on the two deep, they listed all three positions, X, Z, and slot. And you didn't see Collins or Lance or Hagerly on any of that. So I think some fans are, all right, when are we going to see it? And that's fine. That's fine. But I am excited to see, you know, what might happen with these guys, because they're big. 6'2", 190 for Hagerly, 6'4", 214 for Collins, 6'3", 205 for Bryce Lance. These are big athletic targets. I would assume could get after guys in the run game as well as perimeter Rams. But gone is Hunter, gone is Gindy, gone is Babbo. Christian Watson plays with the Green Bay Packers. Like, these go-to weapons are gone. Who steps up? Who becomes the man? And I think that's interesting on the outside for sure.
you know, it's hard not to, you know, Entz mentioned this too. Someone asked him, are you going to throw the ball more? And of course he says, well, it's hard to go into a game saying we're going to throw X amount of times, but it's kind of hard not to think that they're going to throw more with the guys they have out there.
Right. And also I think, I'll kind of use this to transition into the offensive line, which is they've got some really, really good pass blockers. Mason Miller's a good, he's probably the one guy where I would say he's a better run blocker than he is a pass blocker. Sundell's an elite athlete. He's going to continue to be an elite athlete at left tackle. He'll pass block just fine. Gray Zabel is a tall, long, giant pain in the ass to try and pass rush. Westerberg's a good pass blocker. Kubis has become a very, very good player and is frankly just like 24 or 25 years old. He's going to be fine in there. I mean, I'm not making fun. Half the South Dakota State offensive line is 24 years old. They're going to be able to get guys blocked. The interesting thing to me about the offensive line is for sure going to be depth. These five are not going to make it through the season. It never happens. It just doesn't. Somebody gets nicked up. I'm saying anybody's soft. I'm not predicting a ton of injuries. I'm not really predicting anything. I'm just saying it's a tough position. And normally teams do not make it through the season scot-free. Is it Jake Rock? Is it Hunter Pontius? Is it the transfer Isaac Zadichka? Folks like Devin Lockerbie quite a bit. What the Bison have going for them is if two or three of those guys can step up, Sundell could kick into center if something bad happened. Gray can play center. Gray can play tackle. Gray can play left tackle, right tackle. But Gray can play all five spots. That's a beautiful thing to have. Westerberg is a center. He's a center. But that's fine because if something happens to Westerberg, Jalen has played a bazillion snaps at center. Gray can play center. They have guys. Gray can play guard. Gray is playing guard. Like, they have guys to plug in at each spot. Now, two or three guys go down, that's where we're going to find out if Hunter Pontius is a player, if Jake Rock is a player, if Zadichka is a player, Hayden Johnston, Devin Locker. You know, as you go on and look at that, at this two deep, who can really go? Who's ready to help? If offensive linemen get nicked up, and it's a nasty position, and offensive linemen do get nicked up.
That position's been very versatile. Obviously, Gray, I think, Miller went down, Sundell went down, and they had guys to replace him.
Yep.
So, I mean, they'll be okay. I had three injuries. It's hard. I mean, you hope zero, obviously.
Right, of course you do. Yep.
But, you know, you're right, though. I mean, Pontius and Rock, I mean, they're big athletes. I mean, they're...
And they're older. I mean, they've been here for a while now.
Yeah, so that's why I think a lot of Bison fans want to see those guys. Not that we don't want to see our starting five.
Right.
But we want to see what these two can do as well in case we need them.
And we'll get into this in the Eastern Washington preview, but who's the sixth offensive lineman? Mm-hmm. Are they going to rotate? You know, there have been years when guys go in and out to keep other guys fresh. Are they going to be an iron five? Are they going to play Ogre? Do they have an Ogre? We'll find out. The Ogre is usually a young, talented lineman that they're trying to bring up. Now it might be, you know, these fourth and fifth year guys like Pontius and Rock, where it's just like, well, you've been here for a while. You've been Kramerized for this many years, and we think that you can knock down an outside linebacker or a defensive end onto his butt.
That was Cody, right? In 2019, he was kind of the Ogre, right?
Yep. Yep.
That worked out pretty well for him.
So it did. He'll be playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
As far as the D line goes, both of the D ends, Spencer Wagee, now with the Niners, I believe was cut the other day.
He was. Yep.
And then Tony Pierce has since entered the portal at Colorado State, but we still have four guys on the D or four D ends and five D tackles that have experience. Let alone a couple other guys Entz has mentioned throughout.
I think it's a similar situation to when Braden Thomas emerged and we were sort of looking for, like, okay, who's going to be the guy to go out and get eight sacks? And maybe the answer is no one. And then they just sort of do it by committee. But this Bison defense has worked a lot better in the past when there is a Braden Thomas, when there is a Kyle Emanuel, when there is a Coulter Boyer. Like, it just works better when someone can go get the quarterback. Jake Cava, I believe, back for a sixth year out of Shanley High School. Cole Menz from West Fargo Cheyenne's going to get a look. Shaka Rokes looking to build on some of his flashes. Mojo Wirtz, the transfer in from Arizona, brother to Luke Wirtz, will get a look. Boy, they like Kelton McCaslin, 6'5", 235. That's your baby wagey. They really like Kelton McCaslin. I think he's really going to get a look. And is it finally the year for Dylan Hendricks to stay healthy and kind of show what he can do as a senior? And by the way, don't be surprised if they look at somebody young, specifically Abraham Myers from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, was a big damn deal. He was a big get. True freshman pass rushers have gotten time in the past. It can happen, and it just might happen this season, especially after that injury to Hunter Zenzen, which was super, super unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the linebackers go, too, you know, they have a lot of guys back as well. I mean, Kayser, I think he had, 20 more tackles than anyone else in the team last year. But
played a lot of football.
He did play a lot of football. And you're going to see more, possibly Oscar Benson and, Julian Wodarczyk on the end. Logan Kopp is back. Wow, did he look good last year. And then the middle linebacker, the Orr, so Wirtz and Kubitz, sounds like they're going to platoon a lot.
And I think they should. I know that, you know, Bison fans yearn for the Nick DeLucas and the Grant Olsons of yesteryear and would like a true star to sort of emerge and just be that guy. But right now, I think Wirtz on rundowns and Kubitz on passing downs makes a ton of sense. I really do. Or if they rotate series, they rotate series. That other linebacker position, I think they just needed to find a way to get Logan Kopp on the field full time. And if that was moving Wiz to strong safety, that was moving Wiz to strong safety. And I think that makes plenty of sense. I think Logan Kopp is, even though he's not going to play Mike, is still going to be sort of your stud, the guy that makes a ton of plays. And I just think any excuse to get Logan Kopp on the field almost full time is a good one. Wodarczyk, a very interesting body type, and see what he can do in his senior year. Benson has a chance to I think build on what he was able to do last year. And then I'm very excited to see what Marcus Gully can do. He was an all conference guy, a very good player at Minnesota State Moorhead. He's a West Fargo kid. Shout out Zach Willis, and he just I think has a chance to really make an impact. I know when I was at the spring game, he was getting a lot of work, and I just think at 6'2", 227, that's that body type that they're sometimes missing. I mean, he looks legitimately like a linebacker. He doesn't look like a big safety. And I think they've gotten into trouble sometimes playing these 205, 210-pound linebackers against teams like South Dakota State that want to run. I don't think necessarily that Marcus Gully is going to fix everything. But, some of these bigger guys like Staling, Altepeter, Gully, even Kopp is up to 222 now. Maybe some of these guys can show us more of the old-school Bison linebacker play where they're fine taking on a guard and slamming into a running back as opposed to just sort of being run-and-chase type linebackers. There might be a little bit more physicality this fall from the linebacking crew, and I think that's a very exciting thing.
Yeah, one of the biggest things I think last year was one of the question marks was the run defense. And you saw early in the season, Tootin from NCAA&T ran for 130 yards.
Yeah.
And it kind of continued for a lot of the year. I mean, you saw Davis and Johnson. I mean, they rolled us.
Yep.
So I think with experience that the run at defense should improve.
It should. And I think the defensive backfield is going to be a big part of that too, just because I think having Wiz as the eighth guy is going to solve a lot of problems against the run game. He is a great football player. And I just having him when they do decide to put eight in the box, having him be the eighth guy in the box is going to be so problematic for other teams. And it's not that Tut and Dawson weren't great tacklers because they were, but Tut was just not a big human. He did a lot of that submarining. Well, you know why he did the submarine rocket thing? Because he was 5'11", 206. Okay. He was five, whatever he was. And great football player, should be a Bison legend forever. Tutsy's an awesome dude and a really, really good football player. Wiz is a different style of athlete. He's a different size human being. And if a fullback comes out on Wiz, that's a mismatch for most strong safeties. It's just not for him. if a tight end, you know, if a 245-pound tight end comes out to try to block Wiz, that's a mismatch for most strong safeties. It's not for him. So for run defense, I think that's interesting. Pass defenses is where we're going to learn a lot. You know, pass defenses, I think, where most of the questions about this team should probably be, especially, you know, we didn't talk about the defensive tackle room, and I probably should have, but they're all dudes that had to play. Mostert's both had to play. Javi had to play. Dutenheffer had to play. Even Heisman had to play. They're going to get a huge true freshman in Keenan Wilson. I don't know that he'll play because of Logan Larson, who's up to 272 pounds. They're going to be deep and fine up front. I would be surprised. Truly, I would be surprised this year if NDSU struggles with run defense. I really, really would be surprised. Pass defense, we'll see. They seem really set on Marcus Shepard, and I mean, he just didn't play a ton at Bowling Green, and Bowling Green's not great. So I want to see it from Marcus Shepard before I just believe. Jaquiz Alexander out of Ruskin, Florida, was a very big deal as a recruit. I believe he's already on the two deep. Reggie King at 6'2", 190. Is he more of a safety body type, or we'll find out. Can he play corner? If he can, at 6'2", 190, boy, you talk about more run defense. That could be a big deal as well. Jaden Price, very solid. Najee Nelson, Raja's older or younger, but quite bigger brother at 5'11", 175. He might get a look at corner. And then you have the transfer on the other side, and I do believe that they're listing him as a safety. Now I'm lost here. Did I speak too soon? I'm looking for corner. Oh, never mind. He is listed as corner. Chase Nixon, junior college kid. His brother Keyshawn is the super duper all pro kick returner for the Green Bay Packers. Had the 100-yard touchdown against the Vikings in whatever week that game that went very poorly for Minnesota at the end of the season. But his brother is Keyshawn Nixon. He's also, I think, going to be involved. Maybe he's more like his brother, which would be more of a slot corner. I don't know who the slot corner is going to be. So that's an interesting, you know, name to add to that group. And then the safeties, we'll see. I think, you know, folks have been interested because of his size in Ryan Jones from from Frisco. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. Darius Givens is a redshirt freshman out of Champlin Park High School. He certainly was a highly thought of recruit, but he's only a redshirt freshman. Sam Young, kind of a program kid, been around, been a dog on special teams. Now he's maybe going to get his chance to really, really play at a starter. I mean, on the two deep right now, he's a starter. Ty Satter, another program kid, has a chance to get a lot of playing time, I think, as well on that two deep. So the safety group is something that we're definitely going to have to pay attention to. Do they turn to the young guys, even Jalen Crumbie, a true freshman out of Tampa, Florida? Do they turn to the young guys, or do they kind of let these older guys in and give these older guys an opportunity? We'll see. And Noah Taylor also, very highly thought of true freshman, and has Division I size right now at 6 feet, 208 pounds. He looks ready to go. So we'll see. That safety position is interesting. Moving to Eastern Washington, because we kind of need to get stuff wrapped up a little bit. 3-8, rough season last year. Coach Ince has a ton of respect for Aaron Best, and I agree. I think he's been fine as a head coach. Obviously, he himself filling very big shoes there in Eastern Washington. But they've got a new quarterback, Kakoa Visperis. I hope I'm saying that right. Very athletic kid. Not 100% sure on him throwing the ball. But dual threat quarterbacks have given NDSU trouble in the past.
Yeah, something you mentioned, maybe he won't flee the pocket as much as more as he's older, but that's kind of a concern, is he might stand in the pocket and face the pressure, or he might escape and try to run.
Right, and there could be some design run stuff, because we just do not know enough about this kid as a passer. No. Efton Chisholm III, he's a legitimate test for the new secondary. I really enjoy watching him play. But, I mean, it's Eastern Washington football. It's going to be wide open. If the kid can't throw, it's going to be a problem. But maybe he can. I mean, year after year, Bo Levi Mitchell, Vernon Adams, I could go Eric Berrier. I could go on and on and on. Eastern Washington develops quarterbacks, period. So there's no reason to think that this kid can't play. Cam Miller and Cole Payton need to at least keep an eye on cornerback Marlon Jones. I think he had 3 or 4 picks last year. He was the leader of their secondary. Pro Football Focus College had him as the highest graded member of their secondary. He's a veteran. Good kid. Here are my keys to the game, or what I'm going to watch. How much Cole Payton do we see? And does that signify anything? Now, they were 3-18 last year. Right now, North Dakota State, and I know, you know, local media talking about, they could go 7-4. This might be the year they lose to you. And yeah, okay, whatever. But it's a new look, okay? They're still the number 2 team in the country. For whatever reason, there is no betting line, as we even record this here on a Thursday. I don't know what they're favored by, but there certainly is a non-zero chance, as arrogant as this may sound, there is a non-zero chance that at the 5-minute mark in the second quarter, NDSU's up 4 touchdowns. Like, it could happen. The Eastern Washington was 3-8. They play Big Sky football. Not a ton of defense. NDSU very well could ram the ball down their throat, which would make the Cole Payton discussion sort of moot, right? Because, well, now it's just, okay, you're up 35. The backup quarterback is in. You know, it's not, oh, how much are we going to work him in? It's just, well, now the backups are in because you're up by 1,000. So that's something I want to watch. I do want to see who the first offensive lineman off the bench is. To me, that is intriguing. I want to see the new look defense. Not only have you lost all the personnel that we were talking about, whether it's transfer portal, whether it's graduation, whatever it may be, last year's defensive coordinator is now the head coach in the Big Ten at Northwestern. So that's an interesting dynamic as well. Coach Petrino now with North Dakota State, and as we mentioned, no betting line. Blake, you're I shouldn't even say you're our guest. You work here now, but give me your score prediction before I give mine.
Well, Eastern Washington had one of the absolute worst run defenses. I mean, you will see.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So I think, well, you know, even with 3 backs, they're still going to put up at least 200. Okay, I shouldn't say a specific number, but I think they're going to run for a lot. I think they're going to get at least 35. 35-17 would be my prediction.
I've got 52-21. I just think that there is a chance that NDSU just scores and scores and scores and scores. They've got a great offensive line and great skill position, guys. Defense may be a little sloppy. Like I said, I think they're going to give up 21 points. Folks, please head down to Minneapolis if you have a chance. Thanks to Gateway Chevrolet. Thanks to Blake Ingebretson. And thanks to all of you for listening. Have a great weekend. And go Bison.